Hello, everyone, and welcome along to Northumberland FA podcast from the sidelines. Special guest today, we've got Parv Singh alongside myself, England Learning Regional Coach Developer, supporting myself on the chat. And also we have Ahmed Agdag from Newcastle United Academy and Amrik Singh from Newcastle United Academy as well. Hi, guys. How's everyone keeping?
Yeah, really well. Thank you, Gary. And good morning, Pav and Amrik as well.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Doing well. Doing well.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Looking forward to this very much.
Guys, just to set the scene with everyone listening in today, many thanks for taking time out from your busy schedules to be with us today on From the Sidelines. Can you just tell our listeners your current roles within Newcastle United Academy? Ahmed.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, this one's a funny one, Gary. So I've been here working at the club for just under a year and a half now. And on paper, I'm down as assistant player development coach. And over the last 3 months, maybe shorter than that, I've been the under 13s and under 14s dual band interim lead. And in the last month or so, I'm now under 15s interim lead. So getting lots of opportunity, lots of exposure, and I really enjoy my time at the club.
Fantastic. Amrik?
I've just come in slightly after Ahmed there. I've joined in as February, just at Vinia this year in February, and my position hasn't moved around quite as much as Ahmed's has within the club. I'm your lead goalkeeping coach, 9s to 14s at NUFC.
Ahmed, just on your role there, that with the changes, that must be fantastic for your personal development working with different groups.
Yeah, no, amazing, Gary. I think with any opportunities where you get, the chance to have more responsibility, I think it takes you out of your comfort zone, and not to say that, you know, the role that I initially started with the assistant player development coach, it's just given me more opportunity to work with more players, which is what I was doing with the player development coach role. I was working with the 11s, 12s, 13s, 14s, maybe even 15s, 16s, so really across the board. So I think having the opportunity to work with that amount of players initially, in a way, has given me a little bit more comfort that, you know, I've worked with these players before. Maybe not in the type of capacity that I'm working with them now, but as I said before, it's just given me more exposure, more responsibility, and it's given me the chance to work on those leadership and communication skills.
Yeah, you're both not from the area, so how's the Northeast treating you, lads?
I'll let Amrik go first on that one.
I'm really enjoying it. The only other time I was actually up in the Northeast was for my interview, so I didn't know what to kind of expect. Obviously, being a fan of the Premier League and English football, you've always, Newcastle's a staple name, and it's always talked about in great regard from the Northeast. But not having been here, I didn't know what to expect. But now that I am, I'm really enjoying it. Actually, it's kind of unique. It's got that big city feel, but that mix of a small village vibe as well, where everybody's got time for each other. Like I just recently got a car, so I used to walk to work, and anybody and everybody I passed, whether they're just walking their dog out for a walk on their bike, would say hello, just, you know, how you doing, quick just acknowledgement of who you are, which is fantastic and great to see and be a part of when you do move up to a new city. Whereas if you go to some of the bigger cities, you're kind of a mini ant within so many that you just get caught lost in the shuffle. So now I'm really enjoying myself up here, and it's just great to be a part of such a vibrant city that's buzzing right now as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think for me, I think that was really well explained by Amrik there. I think for me, I think my only other experience of coming to Newcastle was when my Turkish team, Fenerbahce, lost in the Europa League. I think it was, or the UEFA Cup back then. think we lost in the last 10 minutes. So as they normally sing to fans, you've got a long way home and losing 1-0. And that was tough. But coming up here in the capacity of, you know, working for the club and the academy, especially at this unique moment where the club is on the up, I'm aware of obviously the club's support over the years, of how passionate they are, how humble they are, and how hard working. And I think those values have linked with my own personal values. It's made the transition a lot easier. I think generally, you know, you speak to anyone on the streets, anyone in the community, anyone in the city, and they're just, you know, just good people. And I think Amrik was spot on with what he said. You've got that kind of feel of a big city, but also that kind of village type. And where I live, it's definitely got that type of feel as well. So, no, look, I've been treated really well, and I'm really enjoying my time, especially, you know, going out and doing things with the family away from football. So, no, yeah, it's treated me really well. Thank you.
Pav?
Yeah, it sounds really fascinating, that. And one of the things I've been fascinated about, guys, is your journeys. Amrik, obviously, you've spent a lot of time abroad, and Amrik, your accent does give it away, obviously, coming from down south as well. And I've been following you a lot on LinkedIn, and some of the things I've picked up, you know, like, yeah, Amrik, you was involved in marketing, and Amrik, you was involved in the education as well. Could you just share, Amrik, if you go first, in terms of your journey to now, and you all had sort of dips in the grassroots game as well, if you could share that as well, and making that transition to an elite environment?
Yeah, it's a great question, Pav. It's always tough when you get asked that question in terms of like your journey, because you always have the journey of, like, you know, if you played, you know, a good level of football as well. So initially I played a decent level of football, you know, playing your school football, was captain in a lot of my teams at grassroots, and also like school football. I then progressed on to playing like district football for Blackheath in London, and then county football within London, and, you know, played with some really good players. And I think those experiences have definitely shaped the person I am in terms of those football experiences and the knowledge I've picked up. And then I went into coaching when I left secondary school. I think initially I started working in a few kind of sports retail shops. And then quite quickly, I think later on in my years, when I had my firstborn, where I was from, I think about 23, 24, I'd started off before that volunteering, coaching, working in grassroots, and it was literally about helping kids in the community and in areas that were quite deprived, just basically being a positive role model and helping them with football and smiling and supporting and mentoring. But, you know, I had a real passion. I've always had a passion for football. You know, I've always had that commitment and dedication. And as I said, I was always captain in every team that I played in. I've always been kind of strong-willed like that. And I think my journey of coaching and football has taken me across many different places, you know, from volunteering for local organizations to working for the local council, where I get the opportunity to be manager of the London Youth Games and work in schools. And I'm, you know, full-time coaching in community in the local estates, to then working in, you know, professional clubs at Fulham, at Charlton, and obviously Newcastle, but not forgetting my experience of working in non-league as well, where I've worked in many different roles, whether it be assistant coach to head coach, and then trying to get a managerial role at across the kind of non-league pyramid. I think before I started working for Newcastle, I was juggling 3 or 4 jobs, and it was tough. I mean, like, for anyone that is tough on the kind of football coaching journey, because at times you just don't know where your money's coming from. You don't know where that next step in progression is, and you keep trying and keep going on and trying to do the right things and be consistent in what you're doing and having that belief. But, you know, sometimes you get the knockbacks as well. So apologies that it's probably a long answer to what you've asked, Pat, but I think in the times before I started Newcastle, I was working as a self-employed PE teacher in a local area, again, quite deprived, has its own challenges, So it was very much about being a positive role model and helping these kids. To some, he was like a dad. To some, he was like an older brother. To some, he was just like a friend. And but at the same time, I was running my own one-to-one coaching business, working with kids from grassroots, but also players from professional background, and also running an amateur team on a Sunday that was quite successful in the 2 or 3 years that I was managing.
Do you think, Amit, you know, those experiences you've had in grassroots, obviously working in the community, obviously you made a lot of sacrifices, sort of managing jobs, managing your finances. How important was has that contributed to you becoming the best version of yourself?
Massively. I think, you know, when we talk about you need to be on the grass and learn in terms of like your coaching craft, I think all those experiences that I mentioned, I probably didn't even know that I was learning whilst I was doing some of them. So when I was in non-league, I think I'd done my A license. I'd done the A license at George's Park, and then I needed to implement some of the things that I'd learned, you know, from the tutors and from my peers. So the non-league pyramid gave me those opportunities to go and coach traditionally on the Tuesday and the Thursday. And at times it was tough. Like, you know, I had players like sometimes swearing at me and all sorts, where, you know, they'd leave their houses early in the morning, working in their jobs, come into football in the evening, and they just wanted to kick the ball about or, you know, do your traditional kind of keep ball sessions. But I was there trying to implement some of what I'd been learning at that time. And that's just one example. Having other examples of where I'm working in the community, you get a real sense of achievement when you're helping players progress. And it doesn't matter whether it's a 9 or 10 year old who plays, you know, like for a B division or an A division team in a local grassroots league, or whether it be an aspiring, I mean, they're all probably aspiring, but they're on different pathways, different journeys, at different points of their career. But whether it be like an under 21s player who's now trying to, you know, get into the 21s team or get back with his fitness. So the point is that when you're working with these players and you have those relationships, you're learning about yourself, because you're trying to be the best person that you can be, but you're also trying to help others be the best that they can be. So you get that sense of achievement. And if you have the passion as it is, that's the easy bit. You know, you love what you're doing. And you just, you know, you just learn so much about it. You're having to adapt all the time. Sometimes you don't have, you know, the perfect resources or the perfect amount of time. At times when I was doing, you know, say some of the one-to-one coaching, I was rushing from my PE teaching job to get to the local Our League or Goals football centre to run a one-to-one session. You know, and it was stressful. You know, your energy, it's zapping in terms of your energy. But you do it because you love it, and you're learning. You're learning on the go constantly. And there's no better feeling when you have those relationships, a personal relationship, whether it be with an individual player, whether it be with a group of players, like 3 or 4, or whether it be a team where you now have to talk about tactics and strategies and formations and in possession and out of possession. So you're just learning so much. And I think those experiences that I've had over all those amount of years has definitely helped me be the best person I can be. And so now I'm in an environment now where I can bring that the fruits of the labour to the table, but also try and excel in where I am.
Oh, brilliant, Amit. And Amrik, I've been obviously following yourself. Goalkeeping lead. Congratulations on that for getting a post like that as well. What was it that made you want to go down the goalkeeping route? And another question, falling back off Amit as well, is the importance of role models as well. So tell us a bit about why goalkeeping, and then why are role models so important?
Goalkeeping itself was the easy bout, was because I played it myself. So being at university and stuff, playing there, playing throughout youth, and then even into my later days. Definitely that was one that I felt there was, especially in Canada, there was a big void missing in actual goalkeeping coaches. Like, you see that here now, obviously, like clubs at every level are trying to incorporate goalkeeper trainers and stuff like that, to at least, because they realize it's such a special and niche, as Gary would know, like just the CPD that we did. It was so well received because there's so many coaches that may not have the knowledge or may want to just further enhance their knowledge on the position. Gone are the days of, all right, we're going to do some finishing, goalkeeper, grab your gloves. That's your training for now, right? And learning work to rest ratios, certain needs that they may have. The technique of saving isn't just get your hands behind it and do whatever you can to keep it out of the goal. On a match day, no one would critique you that much as long as you do your job and get a clean sheet. But if you can learn the technique and the foundations, it's a big part of how well you'll do in your later years as a goalkeeper if you get the right foundation at the young ages. So goalkeeping, that was the reason why. About the journey, I started coaching about 20 years ago. And then I guess this ties into role models to your question there, Pav. I started off coaching like when I used to come home from university in the summers because I lived away, just working with my younger brother's team. My younger brother was 7 years younger than me. So I was in my late teens, early 20s. So my brother is now just a teenager. And the coach of that team was my dad. So it all kind of fell together of like, you're home, it's a Tuesday night, we got training, why don't you just come along? And I felt, why not? And then another part of it was I started volunteering at the local Gurdwara, which is the Sikh temple. So the club, my dad, big figure in the community, started a lot of football initiatives for boys and girls at the temple. And I guess being one of the few within the area that played at somewhat of a decent level at even university, I felt I could give back. I was a bit young and naive then. So I guess you could say frustrations of coaching, not having done it for long enough. It was getting to me a bit because, like I said, I was in my early 20s. So the thing of like showing them and saying, what do you mean you can't get this? Now learning how the learning process works for children and stuff like that and the patience that's needed, I think was a huge learning curve. And I guess the easy part was because it was with my brother, could be a bit more tough with him off the pitch when we're at home to get, and he could kind of tell me, he's like, so-and-so doesn't really get it as easily as you may think and all that sort of stuff. So it's great to have that. And obviously the experience that my dad had for coaching and playing and stuff like that too. So it all kind of came together that way. So the role model aspect was first and foremost, my father, like seeing all the sacrifices he made for me and my brother when we were playing, it'd be like, he'd come home straight from work. Closest one would jump in the car with my mom to the game or training, and then the furthest drive would jump in with dad, and to see that he was always a part of it and how much it was needed. If I could give back to the community, which I think sometimes goes missing, Pav, and I could speak this more on the Sikh community side, parents would get too involved in work and just think that any extracurricular sports activity would be an afterthought. If you can do it and it's convenient, fine. If it requires too much time constraint, it may be not worth doing. So, like I said, I was a kid and my dad would be playing and we'd go with him and he'd take the, like, we'd almost have like a minivan and he'd go pick up four or five other players and just be like, my dad cares so much about just people. Like, I feel the same way. And similar to what Ahmed says, you got to make that connection and be positive and be the best person you can and hope to inspire others. So when I got back into coaching after university and now I'm into my mid-20s, I think one of my friends, good friend of mine, asked me to help coach his son's team. And they were in their, what would be high school is, I guess, the equivalent of like the years you do your GCSEs and A levels here. So you're in your mid-teens, 14, 15, 16 years, you can get in trouble. So again, helping at the temple, we knew the level of players wasn't going to be anyone that goes and breaks through and stuff like that. It was more about just keeping them safe, giving them a fun environment. And knowing what was going on in the community, I used to purposely, and the parents thanked me years later, was do training on a Friday evening and then do another one Sunday morning, because in Canada, your games would be midweek. So you'd use the weekend day. And then at first the parents didn't get it, but then I'm thinking they're 16, 17. If you can have them train Friday evening after work or after school at like 6, 7 and be done 8, half 8, you know, they're not going to get up to anything not so good on a Friday night then. And if they've got an early Sunday morning training, they can't do the same thing on Saturday. So it'd be great to see like that team became such a tight-knit family just amongst themselves. And the boys were in safe spaces, kind of just hanging out with each other. The parents were grateful beyond end. And I was grateful to just see these boys now get into universities, have great jobs. And up until the last few summers, attending their weddings to see the great men they've become and stuff like that. So role models are huge. So if we can be a great version of ourselves, it'll trickle down to making great versions of other humans as well. So,
well, that's fantastic, both. And what you both alluded to, and I remember Amit saying earlier, the exposure, getting exposure, but being in those environments to get that exposure. And then, Amit, what you spoke about is that patience and that bit of tough love as well, and, mm-hmm. and being adaptable. Me and Gary always talk about, how do you create a diverse workforce? And it doesn't just become a tick box scenario as well. But what you both alluded to as well is your sort of experiences, and you look at the game now, and we look at the lack of representation at the highest levels, but there's also opportunities within different aspects of the game in terms of analysis, sports science, physiotherapy, all that kind of things as well. And just in terms of role models, I think you're both fantastic role models yourselves, especially for the Northeast area as well, which is fantastic to see. And I'm just going to finish off on just quickly, if you had to pick two values what represent you both, what would them top two be? So I'll go with you, Amit, first. What would your top two values be?
Top two values. It's quite interesting, Pav, because I'm doing this on my project at the moment as part of my role at the club, which I think you're probably aware of. So my role is part of the Coach Inclusion Diversity Scheme.
Yeah.
And we have to do four projects over the... I have to do four projects along with my my peers on the cohort over the space of the 2 years. So my second project I'm working on is around like my coaching behaviors in training and match days. And I'm literally looking at my values at the moment and how they play out in both sessions and matches. So I think the two values that come off the top of my head, if I was not to overthink it, I'd say passion. Passion's probably my biggest one, or one of the biggest ones, and empathy. That's probably the two that stick out for me.
Brilliant. I love that, Amit. Amrik?
I think mine, having been in the experiences I've had previously, I think one is similar, but compassion. And then another one is just my willing to, like, I think, connect with players and people to get to kind of know them. If you get to know the kids you're working with on a personal level outside of football, I think you'll get a lot more out of them on the football pitch, if you get what I mean. Like,
yeah,
what their kind of day looks like, what their average kind of situation is coming in. And then there's days, like, kids, human people, adults, everybody's, you can have a bad day and it will affect you. But if you can figure out a way to how to go around that and still get the best out of them, that's one thing I think I'm very good at.
So when me and Gary come watch you again, we should see those values stick out and certainly align to your behaviours. Is that right, Gary? Yeah. 100%, yeah, fantastic, though. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, no, 100%, and that you're spot on, Pav, like, because, you know, and it's key that, you know, when you, without going too far away from what we're talking about, but, you know, when you're going to employ people, when you're going to employ coaches to work in an academies or to work for the Football Association or the Northumberland Association, it's important that the things that the individuals talk about, that they bring them to life. Otherwise, you get found out, you know, because, you know, if you talk about honesty and trust and other values, that's important. Or, as I said, empathy and passion, then you should be seeing those consistently and regularly across the board when you're working with players, but also your colleagues at the club as well, because you've got to, you know, you're working with the players, but you've also got to be able to get on with your colleagues at the club. For otherwise, you'll find it difficult to progress or have a positive working environment.
And that's important in terms of the culture. I mean, Gary, do talk about building relationships, connectivity is so important as well. And what you find is working in those different environments you work with, that sort of emotional intelligence, knowing how to read the room. Sometimes less is more, but that less has to be quality. But yeah, fantastic that, guys. And I think in terms of you're really showing your real true authentic selves. How can we be our true authentic selves within the environments we work with? Good. Gary?
Yeah, guys, really interesting listening to your stories to what you've achieved now and where you've come to. My next question is how important from your experiences to build a matrix of coaching and not just look to gain qualifications very quickly? Ahmed?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question, Gary. I think that goes onto one of the questions that I answered from Pav. You're always learning in terms of your coaching craft, and to be honest, I've probably been a little bit guilty when I jumped from my UEFA B to the UEFA A, if I'm honest. However, at the time, I felt like I was ready as well to go on to that next qualification. But if you jump too far, or you try to progress and it becomes about the qualifications in terms of just achieving the next qualification and the next qualification because you think it looks good on your CV, what you'll probably find is that in the environments that you work in, if you don't have those experiences that you've picked up through coaching in different environments or the different leveled players and working in environments where there's different culture, what you'll find is you'll find it be a lot more difficult for you to be yourself because you haven't developed the ability or coaching ability, so or like a matrix that you're in tune with, that you're very familiar with, you know, because you're going to make mistakes. You know, everyone makes mistakes, you know, when they're doing sessions, and sometimes we want them to be, you know, better than what they are. But I think through making mistakes, I think that's where the true learning takes place. Yeah. So I think my answer to it is that you've got to put yourself out there and learn as much as you can and be open to different environments. Even if you're working in an academy, there's nothing stopping you going to the local non-league team, watching matches, or even going supporting, you know, training sessions if the opportunities arise, or even with the local, you know, associations. So there's always opportunities to learn more. And I think it's important to understand self and where you're at, so that wherever your next step or whether the next progression is, that you feel fully ready for that. Because if you don't feel ready for that, and you feel that you want to work in these establishments, organizations, because you've got the qualifications, but haven't gained the experience and knowledge, then what will probably happen is that you'll probably find yourself in a difficult situation where you don't know what you're doing, even though you can always learn more on the go.
Amrik?
I think the one thing that there the misconception a lot of people have is for these qualifications, they feel because it's linear, it has to happen quickly one after the other, similar to like, all right, I've done my GCSEs, A-levels next, go to university, and then crack on with the job. Right. If you were to break it down, imagine doing your GCSEs, now going away for a few years, figuring out who you are as a person, then doing your A levels, then figuring out a bit more of who you are, and then going to university. You'd be a lot better at whatever you decided to do because you'd know a lot more about yourself. Yeah. So to go from your UEFA C, B, A, and then say, all right, now I'm a coach because I've got all the requirements that need to be a coach. You got to figure out who you are as a person, your style, all that sort of stuff. And that comes, as you said, the day-to-day on the pitch, learning, as Ahmed said, learning your craft throughout what you do in the week, not just because you were on a course for 2 weeks or 4 weeks in the year, and then solidifies you know what you're doing. So I think it's, you got to build your own matrix as a coach and a matrix of yourself before these qualifications start coming through, and you'd be a lot more successful at them too, because I know a lot of coaches that get stressed out with them because they feel like they have to just mirror exactly what was taught just to, it's a doing your driver's test. They feel like, okay, if I put my hands at 10 and 2, that's how I drive. But if you ask anybody who drives now, it's one hand on this, one hand on the steering wheel, one change in the radio or whatever. So it becomes with just ease and comfort as you've done it more and more. So I think the same thing with, like, you ask anybody, a doctor, just finished his residency and all that sort of stuff, and he's got to do his first surgery versus his 1,000th surgery. It becomes a lot easier. So same thing with this, right? I think it's not just go chasing the badges thinking that'll make you better. It's the hours you put on the pitch. And reflect. Yeah. Reflect is a big thing too. Look back at it. Like I said, the coach I was 20 years ago when I first started with my brother's team is nowhere near the person I am now.
Great answers. Great answers, guys. Ahmed, what does a sense of belonging look like to yourselves?
Sense of belonging. Wow. Well, question.
You're first, Emmett.
am I allowed to pass?
No, phone a friend.
Yeah, phone a friend. 50-50 and all sorts. Yeah. Sense of belonging. I think the first thing that comes to mind is that identity, you know, having an identity, you know, a bit similar to what Amrit just was alluding to there, understanding self, knowing yourself, and knowing your value is what's important to you. So I think if you have all those and you have an identity, you're very confident that you know who you are, and you can always be better. You're still learning, you're still making mistakes, you're still trying to be better than the day before. Especially like me, I'm always quite hard on myself. I think you have a belonging, like what do you stand for? You know, so if you stand for something, and normally if you stand for something, again, it probably links to your values of what's important to you. So if I stand for, you know, integrity, someone who's honest, someone who has passion, who has empathy, I belong to something, you know. And I think that links very much like to when we talk to players at the club, we talk to players, so like the academy, and there's nothing wrong with it. We talk about, you know, playing for the shirt and wearing the shirt and make sure you represent the shirt. But I think before that, I think you need to be representing yourself, because you can represent the shirt, the club who you're working for or the club who you're playing for. But if you don't know who you are, how are you gonna apply those the right values and the right principles, even if the club has got the right values and the principles? So I think, you know, knowing who you are, have an identity, and then committing to that and having conviction. That's probably the best way I can explain it, Gary.
Amrik?
I think a sense of belonging for me, similar to what Amit said, like you got to be comfortable in your own skin, in the sense of you got to be confident in what you believe in and following through with it, right? Like as they say, live by the sword, die by the sword. Don't try to change or waver who you are, because then ultimately you won't enjoy it as well. So if you feel like you're a fake version of yourself just walking along. So that's one. But then I think part of it is a sense of belonging from the other side of it is you just got to feel you're respected, you're valued, and then like to be included. And I think that's something I do see a lot. Like Amit and I work very closely together as well in times, and it's just like I respect his opinion, he respects mine. We can obviously, you can differ in opinions, but the fact that it's not disregarded is a great sense of like you do feel like you belong because you're being asked at the very least, right?
Brilliant. Great. Guys, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time?
I don't know where I'm going to be in 10
years' time.
I don't even know where I'm going to be in 10 days.
You know what? Like, yeah, you know, I'll be honest, Gary. I think, like, you know, you have these questions, and listen, I respect the question. Like, there's nothing wrong with the question. But, you know, you get asked like 5 years' time, 10 years' time. And it's taken me a very long time, Gary, like to just even learn to be present. So I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm trying not to look too far ahead. I know where I want to be, Gary. Like I've always been very clear about I want to work in a professional game. I want to be a professional manager, you know. And it even took me a bit of time to even say that with a lot of confidence, because I've alluded to it. Like, you know, you have the challenges in the game in terms of the lack of representation and underrepresented groups, you know, in the football pyramid, especially in the professional game, but not only the professional game, non-league game as well. And sometimes it's hard to kind of say that with confidence, you know, with your shoulders back, because you think you're going to get laughed at times, because I don't have a professional football playing experience as well. I played a decent level. I'm not an ex-professional football player. And I'm not saying that you have to be an ex-professional football player. But the challenges are there to be seen. However, I think in recent times, and obviously getting this job at the club as well, has given me that more confidence. You know, I've made sacrifices throughout my whole journey and my whole career. And to be where I am, I'm proud, you know, and I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my family. I'm doing it for the community of coaches that very much look like us as well. And not just the people that look like us, but coaches that are out there that might not look like us, but I had the same challenges as well. Because there's other coaches from, you know, different that have different culture or from a different background that have challenges as well, where they can't get into the jobs like myself and Amrik. So I'm very much aware and very much grateful of where I am. So I think for me, Gary, I'm literally that old cliche of trying to take one step at a time, one day at a time, and be present, but be aware that of where I want to go and what it takes to get there. So as much as I said, I'm grateful for where I am, but I won't stand still because I always want more, and I'm always hard on myself. So I know where I want to go. And for me, it's just about keep working hard every day, keep being consistent, because it's the consistency that's helped me to get here. And I think if I keep being consistent, then that will help me to progress even more.
Thanks, Amrik. Really appreciate your honesty there. Yeah, Amrik?
A similar answer to Amit, to be honest. I think one of the things is, I'll be very honest, I'm in my 40s now. So when people look at saying their journey in the next few years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case is, I think the other thing that you put a lot of pressure on yourself for a timeline, right? If I look back at myself and I started in my early 20s, late teens coaching, did I say in 20 years time, I'd like to crack into a Premier League? What if I said, in the next 10 years, I want to do it. And now I'm at 30 and I think I haven't got it. Do I give up? Right. So all these things kind of come into it too. So I think, like Amit said right at the end, you take each day at its one step at a time, each day as it comes. But it's enjoy the journey. And alluding to, like, part of the reason why I push so hard to kind of come from Canada all the way to this side of the world. Like, I come across countless coaches that have gone the other way. Oh, where'd you? I'm from England. Oh, I'm from Scotland. I'm from here. I'm from there. All over North America, coaching at various levels, coaching at various programs. And then to go against the grain of coming the other way, to really put yourself out there, I thought was a big step, let alone trying to say something else to happen in the next 5-10 years. But it's also part of my drive. Pav and Amit said it there about, like, kind of the underrepresentation. To be a turban-wearing coach, I don't want to inspire the next Amrik. I want to inspire someone to go beyond me, just like our future generations. And this goes for everybody. Every parent wants their kid to do better than they did. So if you just graduated from high school, or if you just graduated from university, you want your kids to go on and do their master's or do one level higher to get further in life. So the same thing with me. I hope to inspire a boy or a girl out there that's going to be the next England manager, first team manager, or whatever the case is, sort of thing. So if we can just kind of keep doing what we're doing with 10 toes on the ground and being very humble along the way, just show people that there's an opportunity to go beyond. So in the 10 years, not to say whatever, if I could be the best 9s to 14s goalkeeper coach and it happens to be still at Newcastle United because they still want me there, then that's what it's going to be. And I'm very happy with that too.
Thanks, Amrik. Pav, anything just before we wrap up from yourself?
The passion and just the way they both articulated their last hours has been really fascinating to listen to. And just words like, you know, be your own critique, what Amit talked about. And Amit saying, put yourself out there. I think, you know, stuff like that, them key golden nuggets for all coaches. But just for me, I've made a list of I call it the 5 E's. You know, we talk about exposure, experience, education, employability, and evidence. what we've seen from these two transformation leaders, I would say, is they've done the five E's, but what they've done is they've got employed. So we'll add a six. You've got employed into an elite environment. So really fascinating to listen to. I wish, I'll be honest with you, I could have just listened to these for a few more hours. It was a great listen. But no, both of you, I just wish you both the very best and some real, real golden nuggets in there for all coaches.
Thanks, Pav. Really appreciate your time, Pav, this morning on From the Sidelines. Big thank you to Amrik and Amit. Really appreciate you being so honest on From the Sidelines, and we wish you all the best in your future in coaching. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for this morning. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Gary, Pav, thank you for the opportunity to just put ourselves out there. Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.